Here we are for another episode of The Landing. I'm here with Mangos and Ben.
Here we are.
Good to be back.
UFC Sundays. So we're going to react to UFC 272.
Yes.
The main fight finished like 20 minutes ago. Was absolutely outstanding.
Covington Masvidal.
Definitely lived up to the hype. I was kind of just wanted to give our like initial reaction to the fights. Mm-hmm. And kind of talk about like where these fighters could go from here. So let's start with the main. Colby Masvidal, who did you guys want going in?
I wanted Colby going into it just because Colby's got the potential to go challenge Usman again for the title. And I don't think Masvidal actually has that ability to compete at the top anymore.
Yep.
And we got exactly what we thought was going to happen. Colby just put on absolute pace on him and Masvidal broke within the third, fourth round. Just couldn't do anything about it.
They have both fought the champion twice. So it kind of doesn't do anything for the storylines, but there's way better options if Colby stays on top.
Definitely. He's also so much younger as well.
And he's so much better.
Yeah, he absolutely like mauled him. Like I think it was often with these fights, like everyone knew that Colby's a way better wrestler. So it was kind of like Masvidal's just going to be looking for his shot the whole time. And he did drop him. Was it the fourth round?
Fourth round.
Got him right
Didn't
on
drop him per se.
It was like a half drop. Yeah. It was like the brain definitely shot off for like a second because he kind of like squatted a bit and then like got back up. But basically, Colby's ability to just literally manhandle the shit out of Masvidal, literally just rolling on top of him. Masvidal like looked like dead weight and like Colby's just like ranching around him for literally like the whole 25 minutes.
Yeah.
But what do you think with Masvidal's performance? Do you think he, I'll ask you first, Ben, do you think where does he go from here? And like, is he done?
Yeah, it's funny how whenever somebody loses a fight, they'll always say, "Oh, I was so disappointed with my performance." Like Masvidal was saying, "Oh, I was just so flat-footed tonight." But it's really he fought badly because Colby made him fight badly because Colby just
100%.
Masvidal's fought for twice as long, but that doesn't make him twice as good. It's because Colby wrestled that other half, like just as much as Masvidal was ever fighting, and so it's obviously it. Yeah, the wrestler. The striker beats the wrestler enough times for you to have a bit of hope, but the wrestler always beats the striker. They just can win way more different ways.
Yeah, yeah. And the two can just, like, tire the opponent out so much better than, like, if you're just, like, doing stand-up strikes because you can really just, like, just throw your hands. Whereas, like, with wrestling, if someone's just, like, grabbing your neck, poking your eye, like, sitting on you, it is so tiring to have someone and your body is constantly tensing to try and get this person off.
Yeah.
And literally just completely tires them out.
And on top of that, you've got to make sure Colby's not getting good position on him on the ground. So you're working to try and make sure and defend yourself. So that's taking energy too for a striker like Masvidal.
Yeah, and Colby's literally so smart at where he puts himself that he can literally like just rest on him. And it's like some of those ground and pounds were ridiculous.
To mention that Colby's output is off the scale, as it is.
And best then, in UFC and history.
Unbelievable.
It's the best in UFC history.
And he's dragging on Masvidal for like 25 minutes, just like sagging on him, And then if he turns away, he'll have him in like a neck crank. So he's just get him in the perfect position.
It's ridiculous. What do you reckon Colby does from here? Because obviously he called out Poirier.
Yeah.
One, Mangos, do you think Poirier would take that fight? Two, if he wins that fight, it's kind of like the division's in a bit of like limbo because like no one can really beat Usman.
And Usman's lapped everybody too.
Yeah, exactly.
He's already fought everybody.
Like, what do you do? Like if you're Usman, like, is it even worth like possibly like fighting these guys again? Because like it's like kind of not worth it.
So for Colby, I reckon the Poirier fight's probably the one he wants. But for in Dustin's perspective, I don't think he wants to fight Colby. From everything I've seen, he's just like just doesn't like the bloke. And it's not like Masvidal where he's willing to put it aside for some money. I think he genuinely doesn't want that fight. But I think that's the one that they're going to try and push the most.
Yeah.
And for Covington, it's a good point. Like it puts up the division. Like you don't know who he's going to fight. Like maybe Vicente Luque, but like that's just a step down for Covington. Like.
Yeah.
Like, is that, like, the right fight for Covington? Like, maybe how Chimaev goes against Burns could possibly be... That could possibly be an option after that. But even then, Colby's fought so many good dudes. Like, Chimaev's got to fight more guys.
Could
like,
Colby go down a weight class? Or is he too heavy?
I think he's too heavy he's for too 55.
Because he would be a ripper lightweight.
Yeah.
He would be, like, outstanding. Like, if he... But he, like, literally looks just as pigulent as Poirier. Like, literally, like, they're both just pigging.
Him and Charles Oliveira would be outstanding to watch.
Oh, my goodness.
Like
Colby
Oliveira. Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. Is the jiu-jitsu of Oliveira versus the wrestling of Covington. Yeah. It'd be a ground, absolute ground match.
Because that's why Dustin probably doesn't want the fight as well, because we saw how Oliveira was able to out-wrestle him. Like, yeah. Get that back position in a split second.
Covington's like that on steroids.
Exactly. Right? And he's heavier.
Like, he
won't stop. No, Dustin.
No,
but I don't think Dustin wants that fight as much as he thinks he does anymore.
No. Dustin seems a bit like less crazy, a bit more kind of like, okay, I'm just going to get my money and get out somewhat.
I think he just wants a Diaz fight and then boot.
I think that's what he, Masvidal, and Colby now all have in common, because they've had their two title shots each, and you're in your early 30s, you have a few years left. You've got to try and get together four wins to justify some other title.
For Dustin, you got kids. Yeah. You kind of like, and that's we've seen with Connor as well. He's kind of like dropped off ever since he had kids.
Yeah.
Because you just got so much more to lose.
Dustin's had a change of attitude though since the McGregor fights. Because the McGregor fights, you just make so much money. So I think now since he's made the money, I don't think the championship was really his priority. It's hard for me to say because I don't know.
He definitely was very cut when he lost though.
But
to be fair.
Yeah, sure. Like, you're obviously going to be cut after you lose a fight. But like he felt. Like, he's satisfied with his career now because he's made, like, millions of those two McGregor fights, mm-hmm. which sets him up for the rest of his life. So, it's hard to say, honestly.
You could just never have a conversation like this without going back to that, like, Marvin Hagler quote that, you know, it's hard to get up for those 5:30 runs if you're wearing silk sheets or if you're in silk pajamas or whatever it was, you know?
Straight up.
Every single time, bar none. Like, once, you know, you sell your 2.2 million pay-per-views like Masvidal in his two fights with... And he also a million pay-per-views when he fought Diaz.
Yeah.
So, like, how many millions he would have now? And then Dustin just had two Conor fights.
Yeah.
So...
It'd be hard to get the motivation to be able to fight and be at the gym, like, 2-3 times a day. But I think that's where Colby doesn't give a shit about that. Like, he wants to be there, like, every day and train.
He just know that he absolutely... Yeah.
He's an animal. He
loves it.
And he says it, too, and he's not lying. Like, he lives the lifestyle. And he does. Like, you might see all the shit that he does is, like... Like posing with girls and all that type of stuff and just like taking the piss. But he trains his ass off. Like
he
trains his ass off.
Someone with like, because like his personality kind of gives off the vibe that maybe this guy's like a bit of a partier, like he probably like doesn't.
But he really
is. He is the most insane tank in the UFC.
Yeah.
And like clearly he's just going to work.
I don't know that I've seen any better athletes other than Usman.
Yeah, literally.
And Usman's just a clone but bigger and stronger.
Yeah, he's a number one, and he's pound for pound. Yeah. So like that's
do you reckon so like if like Colby like wins another fight, he gets another title shot? Is that how it kind of goes? Like
I think he need to win another two. I think he'll need to win against Dustin. Let's just that doesn't even do anything for him though. But then he'll fight Chimaev, and Chimaev will have just spanked five people. Let's assuming Chimaev smokes Burns, then he will have been in like five fights and eaten like you know less than five strikes.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then if Colby can beat Chimaev, then there's just no way to deny it.
Yeah, 100%. Colby,
that'll be the only way.
Colby's funny because Colby puts out like the persona that he can't fight. Like he's like just like a right wing type of person who just like takes the piss, and you're like, oh yeah, this guy's really punchable. Just, like we could beat him. And then he gets in the cage, and then his wrestling is just ridiculously on another level compared to everybody else. It just blows people away.
He's one of my favorite like fighters to watch because I think he's like his ability because like he was matching strikes with Masvidal for a bit as well.
Yeah.
Such an exciting kind of like game style because he's brought the striking into it so much more now.
Yes,
yeah. And that's like a big improvement in his game since he's moved gyms. He's got really more like calculated on his feet. Like you can see he's just like thinking through his strikes more rather than just like swinging and trying to get a takedown. Like he's thinking of setting up the takedown instead of just going and like hoping to get a takedown. Like he's worked really hard on that. And another thing with Colby is the grappling. Like his like jiu-jitsu was on another level today. Like Masvidal had him in a takedown. He was on his back and then Colby sprawled, got a takedown, and got his back within 30 seconds.
Yeah,
like,
it was insane.
Like, it was less. It was just like 5 seconds.
Yeah, it was probably even less than 30 seconds. It's ridiculous. Like, Colby just, his transitions on the ground, like, match his wrestling now, which is so
scary. He's literally like a massive, like, python. Literally just, like, kind of sprawling around someone and just, like, slowly, like, tightening his grip. It's incredible.
You can't, like, get him away from you. Like, you can't get him away from you. Like, you'll keep going forward.
Yeah, and I think another thing, before we obviously touch on the next fight as well, is, I think... What I kind of want to mention is I reckon the Masvidal-Colby fight was just the definition of why UFC and fighting is such just like a tasty treat because I said this like halfway through. One, it's got the GOAT narrative. Like fighting is so often about storylines.
Yeah.
And the ability for like having best mates who now hate each other and it seems genuine, literally that is the dream for a matchup.
Yeah.
Like literally the dream, and that like coupled with the ability that like they've both got very different kind of fight styles and they hate each other, and it was just the GOAT setup, because yes, like Colby was like on top of him, like absolutely dominating, but you still kind of were just like, oh, Masvidal's here, like he only needs one strike. And I think in so many different sports, you don't get that, like always that level of hope in the late rounds. Like, yeah. It's always like, oh, it's one punch away. That's why you get done so much. Like, easily with singing, oh, like, but imagine he just lands one strike. I think, like, that was so, like, well highlighted in this fight.
Mm. It had all the variables for what you want to make a fight.
It was epic.
In the cage and outside the cage. And
I cannot wait to watch the press conferences. Oh, it's going to be outstanding. But let's move on. Oh, yeah,
it's just a bit deflating that it's all over now. Like, we've been talking about this.
It's been two years in the making.
And now we fire up the Sunday Reds to rewatch it, just to calm us down.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. But let's go to the next fight. So RDA versus Moicano. Yeah. That was one of the more gruesome fights for any UFC fan that like, or anyone that was just happened to be watching it on their couch. It was unwell. Like, even like there was a few like breaks between rounds where they were literally questioning whether this bloke is even like there. Like if his face was just too butchered to be able to keep going. Awesome fight though.
Yeah,
I cannot believe it went the distance. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
It had a similar vibe to the Diaz Edwards fight, where kind of like Diaz got him late in the like fifth round. You're like, hang on, what the, like, you've just been getting mauled. But one, Ben RDA, does he have a way back up?
He's 37. This is Rafael Dos Anjos. It's RDA, by the way. And I don't reckon there's anybody. He's already ranked seventh.
Yeah.
Who's he going to fight?
Is he fifth?
He might even be fifth, but like, who's above him that would even?
I think he's just outside top five.
Okay.
Yeah, I really like him at 155. But he's been like, Colby beat him for the interim championship at 170. Like, he's a beast at both, and he's fought the who's who of both. And there's no one else left to fight that'll.
He's one of those like.
He needs an Islam. He should have got Islam.
Agree.
But Islam got Beneil Dariush instead. So other than, and that takes out the two above him, and then there's just Poirier, there's Charles, there's Gaethje, they're all in fights. There's Chandler. That's it. So,
and they all torch him.
Maybe.
I reckon Chandler RDA would be a mid fight.
Yeah.
RDA would probably have a good fight against
that. That would be a really good fight. I reckon RDA's got a similar vibe to Aldo. Like, and like, you know those guys, they're just like, you somewhat question whether they're still even going for a title, but they just kind of love fighting. So they actually, I reckon he's going to be one of those old bulls that will fight till he's 40 just because he loves it.
Yeah.
And he just stays there. Like, he doesn't drop off. Like, he doesn't lose, like, three fights in a row. Like, and if he loses, like, a couple, it's to, like, Covington and Usman. Like, it's the best.
He's athletic
as
well. He's
it's
so
the,
athletic.
It's the best of the best, like, he's losing to. RDA definitely can get back to a title shot. I could 100% see it. He'll probably get, saying it earlier, he'll probably get the loser of Makhachev and Dariush. That's probably the best matchup for him.
Usually once you get older, like, your speed is the first thing that drops.
Yeah.
And I reckon I've definitely been watching him since he was the champion in 2016. And he's had the same identical rig the whole 7 years. And he's got the same hand speed the whole 7 years.
There's also something for that as well. He's consistent.
Yeah.
Like, he was a champion with it. He's always prepared. He's always ready to go. And he doesn't get knocked out or anything like that. Like, you need a, like,
he's got a massive head.
Take a punch. Yeah. Take a punch.
So can Moicano.
It wasn't even about RDA. Like, as we're about to say, Moicano. Like, he took it on like 4 days' notice, and then comes in and just puts on an absolute show.
He did an absolute great job. Like, think about taking that on four days' notice.
During
fight week. Yeah, he fought 2 weeks ago, and he took it during fight week. Like, it's unbelievable.
Getting absolutely butchered, winning the crowds, because now everyone will remember that fight and reminisce of it and be like, oh, we need to watch this guy again. He's an absolute brawl. Like, it's the Nate Diaz, like, that sort of vibe. And now he comes in. Well, Dana will look after him and pay him a bucket load, like a person.
He has to get taken care of for that.
I don't know how much. That could literally be like 100 grand. Like,
it wouldn't be a bonus.
Dana.
Yeah, Dana. Dude, they'll pay
to take that
bills.
On four. Think about how much you lose. Like, if on like the UFC, if Dos Anjos isn't on the card.
Yeah.
So like, it definitely.
Yeah, you lose your co-man.
You lose that fight, then that's huge. Yeah. So I don't know. Dana's. I've seen videos of Dana just throwing out 20k.
He always says, like, you know, these people got the fight of the nights and these people got the knockout, and I'm going to look after and it's like the best of the main card.
Exactly.
It'll
exactly.
be like just as many names, if not like twice as many names as the bonuses. Exactly. But like even though it'd only be like 30 instead of 50 grand.
Yeah.
This might be in a, like with the press conference when he announces it, and off the record as well, I reckon he's going to take care of Moicano because he saved that co-main event. Yeah. And he didn't, and he like, it would have been reasonable if he quit.
And it was an incredible fight.
Like he, like, incredible. He could have just been, I don't want to go back in there, and everyone would have understood because his face was completely butchered. But he decided, like, he was just like,
now he's adamant, turning around and will become like now like a name that you look
now he's one of the fan favourites. Now, yeah. now next time he fights, people are going to be standing on their feet watching Moicano because he's the best. And I'm glad people realise that now because he's the best.
Yeah. I just wish the Dagestani boys were willing to do more of that. Like, Islam should have been fighting RDA this weekend. Should have been Islam. And Islam's so much better, and he's obviously going to ragdoll him, but he just doesn't want to risk it. No, he rejected it.
No. Jackie, he'd like absolutely dominated
him. Oh, yeah, he would have dominated him, yeah.
It'd be like RDA.
But I think Islam dominates everybody. And Arman Tsarukyan, like, he's not even in the top 15 yet, will destroy everybody else.
Yeah, he's the only one that put up a fight with Islam. Yeah, you just wait. Apart from Islam's loss, he's the only one that's made a challenge in Islam. Like, he's a bitch.
Dang. We watched him last weekend with the massive elbows.
Oh, yeah. Inside control. Yeah. But yeah, and then obviously there was the Bryce Mitchell versus Edson Barbosa, which is also like outstanding fight. For some reason, I saw Bryce Mitchell. I'd never seen him fight.
Yeah.
But Bryce Mitchell just does not really look like a fighter. No. Like, he literally looks like he's like some sort of mathematician that you'd see at uni.
Yeah.
And like, he randomly just has the goat body position. Yeah. Like, did not like, absolutely just sat on him the whole fight. And battered him.
Yeah.
Like, I might add. Like, it wasn't just sitting there. He was sitting there and throwing elbows and like fucking hands at his face. But like, it was like, what do you guys think of that fight?
If Moicano and RDA wasn't on the card, like, and Moicano's face wasn't the most butchered, Barbosa was, it would be the most butchered. Barbosa got absolutely
he was
bleeding from all over his face. Bryce Mitchell put it on him, like, and it was the typical like striker grappler match, and Barbosa's grappling is more defensive and not trying to actually get out of positions. And Bryce Mitchell's one of the best grapplers in the UFC, and he just showed it. He just showed it again. Like, and he knocked him down with a left hand too.
Yeah,
great straight left hand. Like,
and Barbosa's been, even though he's now 2-3 at featherweight since he moved down from lightweight, he's still such a beast. Like, he just beat Chan Burgos.
Yeah, he's terrifying. Barbosa's terrifying.
Barbosa's kicks. He's got the fastest switch kick Joe Rogan's ever seen. Don't I just sound like a niff saying that? But all of his kicks. Like, Barbosa's kicking is insane.
Him engaging his wheel kicks. The fastest leg kicks. Like,
types of leg kicks though.
Yeah, but he's like it's similar speed when it's coming down. They both whip it quickly. Gaethje's is more to the calf, but he's more to the quad. But he can kick fast. That's a dangerous fight for Bryce Mitchell, and he just passed it.
How old is Bryce Mitchell?
27.
Yeah, he seems.
And he hasn't fought for nearly 2 years.
Why?
Injuries.
Okay. Yeah,
he's very young. He's
I definitely enjoyed watching him as well.
Is he a jiu-jitsu guy? Like, where did he come from?
He's a jiu-jitsu guy from Arkansas.
Yeah,
from Arkansas. And I don't think he's actually like a black belt, but he's just amazing. Like, you could see he was trying to get the finish in that particular fight, but he just couldn't get it. I think he was just content with just like battering him from the top, and that was working really
well.
Barbosa's
a good grappler. I mean, any Brazilian,
they're all good grapplers. When you're in the UFC, you have to be a good grappler.
You can't
go anywhere with it. So,
or at least defensively,
yes.
Like, at least be able to like defend yourself.
Exactly. And Bryce Mitchell's just like levels and levels and levels above Barbosa, like in the grappling.
And that's a big statement because Barbosa's been around the block.
Yeah, and he's fought, and he's like RDA, he's fought everybody too. Yeah. That's good. So.
Yeah. And what the final fight I want to talk about is the Kevin Holland and Oliveira fight.
Kevin Holland is back.
One of the GOAT fights. Like, when that fight happened, I said to Mangos, like, oh, this, when you get like what, like the fourth, like, like, how do
yeah,
I
the fourth yeah, out
the
five.
Fourth fight when that's the a booming one. Yeah. You just know it's going to be a fat card.
Yeah.
But yeah, Kevin Holland, I'm a big fan of his work, and I thought he was outstanding because he definitely was getting mauled. Was it the first round?
Yeah, he was getting battered. He was getting battered by and getting taken down by Oliveira in the first round,
and then he just pulled it back and absolutely dominated. Mm. Where do you think Kevin Holland could go from here?
I think Kevin Holland can go really high in welterweight. Kevin Holland's going to be a big problem for a lot of people in that division.
How much bigger was he than
Holland? Holland's so tall, and his reach is ridiculous.
Oh yeah,
he's got insane reach. So
he's one of the longer guys in
his distance management. You could see in the first round he was struggling with like working out the speed of welterweights because he hasn't fought like welterweight in a long time. So you could tell like he was trying to like get used to it, and he came out in the second round and just was absolutely outstanding to watch. Like, he's clearly needs to work on his grappling, and I'm sure he's aware of that. Like, he knows that. Like, he needs to keep continuing to do that and like take down defense and and but once he gets that, like, he's going to be a problem because it's going to be hard for people to actually hit him because he's so long.
Yeah, so his reach is 81 inches, which is 6'11". Tyson Fury, his reach is 82 inches, like, which is just 7 foot. And he's, a 6'3" welterweight.
It's just ridiculous. Like,
nobody can, if he could just figure out distance management in a John Jones kind of way.
And
he'll be laughing. And he's so much bigger. Yeah, Cowboy, he's not big.
Yeah, it's a good matchup for the USA did well with Kevin Holland giving him Oliveira. Because Oliveira is like an exciting fighter who's willing to stand on the feet. So it was a perfect styles matchup for him. And like, Oliveira's got that like similar type of length. Like, he's pretty like lanky too. Like, he's not as tall, but he's pretty lanky as well himself. They did really well with the matchup for Holland. Just give him some confidence to try and get him up the division.
Yeah,
but all around an outstanding card. I definitely reckon it was much better than the Whittaker Adesanya card.
Yeah. A bit more happening.
Yeah.
It was a weird week for MMA as well. Like, it had a bit of an eerie feel to it, you know, with Cain Velasquez, like the heavyweight champion in jail probably for the next 5 years.
Longer north, I reckon.
Yeah, there's a few other weird things happening this week, but can't quite recall.
Yeah, from start to finish.
Oh, like all the, another interesting thing of note was that Khabib's brother, Umar Nurmagomedov, made his speech, his post-fight speech, and like thanked, you know, all the Russian players from every other sport have been banned, but half the UFC roster is Russian.
Yeah.
So they're not going to do that, but Umar Nurmagomedov said something a bit controversial, just thanking Russia and giving a lot of credit to Russia. And so it's a bit interesting.
That's a dangerous thing to do in Vegas.
Yeah, the other Russians didn't get a post-fight interview when they won tonight.
Yeah,
probably. So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out.
Yeah, that's,
you can't ban them.
You definitely can't ban them because it's not their fault like that this is happening. But I can understand why, just because of the circumstance that's going on, they didn't allow him to have an interview. But he's like, thanking of Russia wasn't like him thanking that like all this stuff is going on. It was more just like, he was just appreciative of his like of everybody back home, and he's just really like patriotic.
Because because like, you're allowed to say, because obviously he's, all of his family and friends could be in like danger of like whether they're fighting or whatever. So like, it's kind of like, you can kind of support your nation without like, but again, I think it's smart by the UFC to ban, like, because it's only going to create issues.
I think there's a big difference between supporting your people and supporting your government. I don't think he was supporting the government and what Putin.
Yeah, doing. No, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, he's kind of just like kind of big wishing difference. His like friends and family well, and also like, I just feel like surely that'd be understanding if like, yeah, like, speaking in America to a like angry drunk American crowd could be like an issue. Like, that's pretty like self-explanatory, I reckon.
He's also terrifying too. Everyone at bantamweight should be very scared to fight him, because
that team is insane.
Yeah,
should just like have a new fighter like every week.
Seriously.
Yeah, like once a month, like there'll be a new one that just pops out of the Dagestani camp. Just an outstanding.
And the snowball effect in that area would just be insane.
Yeah, having all these like fantastic fighters coming from that one region gives like legendary all the other people fighters. Gives all the people there like hope that they could do the same thing.
And every young fighter can like get any question answered perfectly with the perfect form, the perfect like technical skills. It's just like, it's just rinse and repeat.
They've got the formula for it, and they're showing it like with so many different fighters and in different organizations.
Until Conor knocks out Islam,
exactly,
in a big way. But yeah, on that note. Oh, I really enjoyed this reaction pod. I'm actually very on it.
Yeah, it was a great card. Deserved it. It definitely deserved it.
But I definitely reckon there'll be some more reaction pods.
Definitely. Good to get it out of the system, even just for our sake.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. We'll still be piling into the group chat, though, I'm sure.
Of course.
But yeah, thanks for joining me, boys. Of course. Great card.
Thank you. My pleasure. Thank you.
And now some Sunday Reds.
Of course.
Here we are.
Thank you.